To the book of Ephesians. When you found your place in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, Ephesians chapter number 6, turn with me to 2 Samuel. Chapter number 23. 2 Samuel, chapter number 23. We find in verse number 8 through verse number 12 a category or a catalog of David's mighty men. And it's interesting to note the different individuals that surrounded around David. There were some great warriors. And David himself was really a great warrior. And it describes in 2 Samuel 23 the names of the mighty men. And I want you to notice particularly what it says in verse number 12, but let's begin in verse number 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had: the Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adonijah, the Eznite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. You know, we think that some of these action heroes on TV are really something. Here's a guy, he's surrounded around 800 men, armed men, and he takes a spear and he wipes out 800 men all by himself. I would say that even Jason Bourne would probably quiver. Amen? I think, you know, some of these guys we think are rough and tough would see a guy like this and they'd say, where's the white flag? Maybe I'll just call a truce. It says, after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo. Now, you might think that's a funny name, but sometimes you've got to have a name like a boy, like a name with Sue, in order to be tough in life, I guess. But here is a guy by the name of Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahoite, one of three mighty men with David when they defiled the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave under the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him to spoil. Verse 11, after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together in a troop. And there was a piece of ground full of lentils. Basically, he was in a pea patch. And here he was in this field. Undoubtedly, it belonged to him and it belonged to his family. It says, and the people fled from the Philistines. So here he was in verse number 11. The Philistines were gathered together in a troop. Hundreds of men surrounded this fellow by the name of Shammah. But look at verse number 12. And I want you to notice the first three words, and I want you to say it with me in verse 12. But he stood. But he stood. I really believe if we have something of value and something of importance, it's worthy to stand for. And it's needful to stand for those things. By the way, young people, listen to me. You ought to stand up for your mom and dad. You ought to stand up for your preacher. You ought to stand up for your church. You ought to stand up for your country. It says here that Shammah was in the middle of this field of lentils, and everybody else fled, but he stood. I believe that there are some things that are worth standing for. And he believed that there was something here that was worth standing for. Whether this was his own personal property or maybe this property belonged to his family, was passed down from from generation to generation, he thought that this was worth standing for. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. It says in verse 12, but he stood. Down through the time, we find recorded in the Scripture, individuals stood for what was right. Joseph went through all kinds of problems. His brothers despised him. They mistreated him. They threw him in an empty well, sold him off into slavery. And while he was in slavery in Egypt, he was lied upon. He was thrown into jail. Had a horrible time. We find that Potiphar's wife come to him in Genesis chapter number 39 and says, lie with me. And he made this statement. He says, how can I do this evil and sin against God? And he took a stand. You realize, instead of yielding to temptation, he stood up for what's right. You know, it's easy to fall for temptation. Listen, it takes an individual of strong character. Fellas, it takes a real man to stand up for what's right. To stand firm. And here Joseph, he was tempted. It would have been very easy to give in to temptation. Nobody would have known except God. And Joseph took a stand. We find that Moses in Exodus chapter number 2 and verse number 11, as he was walking, he was raised in Pharaoh's household, he saw an Egyptian mistreating one of the Hebrew people there. And the Bible says that he rose up and he slew that Egyptian, hit him in the sand. And it tells us in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 24, that he realizes better to go ahead and take a stand than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We find in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, everybody was gathered into a valley and they saw this giant of a man by the name of Goliath, and everybody just shivered at it and quaked at his sight. He was a huge man. According to the Bible, this Goliath was probably well over 9 foot tall. Some people say that he was closer to 11 foot. Depends on how big a cubit is, I guess. Huge man. And David was just a young teenager. And when he saw all of this stuff taking place, he made this statement. He said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? And David took a stand, and Saul said, you know what, you can't go out and face that giant on your own. He says, let me put my armor on you. Well, Saul was a huge man, and he was head and shoulders above everybody else, the Scripture says. He put it on him. It didn't fit. David didn't feel comfortable. He put it off. He says, I'm going to trust God. And David went, and he faced the giant with a sling and a pocket full of rocks. And that's all it took. He took a stand. Now, go over to Ephesians chapter 6. We were there this morning. Let's go back there. And I want you to see something. Remember Shammah in the Old Testament, but he stood. And in Ephesians chapter number 6, talking about our spiritual warfare, it says in verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to what? Stand. That you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Notice what it says on down in this verse. It says in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking to you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to what? Stand. Look at verse number 14. Look at the first two words. Stand therefore. The child of God is to stand in the power of God against the forces of this world. Mighty men of old stood for what was right. They took their stand. They were in a conflict. Physical conflict, yes. Spiritual conflict, yes. And we also are in a spiritual conflict. You realize there's a battle going on? There's a battle for your soul and there's a battle for your mind. Who is going to control it and who's going to win the battle? I remember reading this story about this Indian who became a Christian. And he became a very, very dedicated, godly Christian man. And somebody asked this Indian chief, what is the reason for your success as a great Christian, as an American Indian? And he says, well, the reason why I have victory in my Christian life is because of this. He says, every morning, he says, I get up and he says, I go out of my teepee and he says, I see two dogs raging. A black dog and a white dog. And he says, these two dogs are fighting. And he said, the dog that wins is the dog that I feed. And with our, inside of us, there's two that are raging. That which is good and that which is right. And that which is evil. And what's going to happen? You're going to have victory depending on what you feed. If you feed the right thing in your life, you're going to have victory in your life. You see, we have a war going on, and it's not over oil, and it's not over land. It is a war over the souls of men. And I believe that every boy and every girl and every man and every woman that comes to Christ is worth all the hardships that we take in order to stand for what's right. Now, the question is, how are we to stand? Tonight, I believe that you need to stand. I believe that we need to, as Ezekiel said, we need to stand in the gap. Make up a hedge. That our land would not be destroyed. Edmund Burke said, all it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. We need to take a stand. I believe that one of the reasons why the election turned out the way it was because the 53% didn't take a stand. The 47 did. And I'm not running for president. But I'm here to tell you what Mitt Romney said was true. As long as we have people in the 47 percentile that are constantly looking for freebies, and I don't know if that's a percent or not, but I understand what he was saying. We're going to have a socialistic government that's going to end up saying, we're going to take care of you from the cradle to the grave. I believe that we need to take a stand for what's right. Our country cannot continue to go on this way. It's time that we get rid of the free cell phones, and it's time that we get rid of free handouts. And by the way, Social Security, listen folks, Social Security is not an entitlement. Those of you that have paid into Social Security, like I've paid into Social Security, that is an investment. It's a very poor investment, but it's an investment that you made. You deserve that money back to you because you paid into it. The problem that I have is people get Social Security disability that never paid into it, and people get Social Security disability. This has nothing to do with the message, but I'm just ranting and raving right now. but they get Social Security disability. I know a guy who got Social Security disability because he was an alcoholic. And I said, well, man, I thought you got saved. He says, I did. I said, when was the last time you drank? He says, 2 years ago. I said, you still getting Social Security disability? He says, oh yeah, absolutely. He says, I can't work because I'm an alcoholic. I says, you need to go get a job. You need to go get a job. I could go on and tell you stories about people that have gotten Social Security disability that's never paid into the program. And you say, well, preacher, what's that got to do with the message? It has to do with this. I think those of us that know the truth, we ought to go ahead and make a stand. And we ought to stand up for what's right. We ought to stand up for what's right morally. We ought to stand up for what's right for our country. And if we don't stand up for what's right for our country is going to cease to be. The question is, how are we to stand? Look, if you would please, in Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 11. It tells us as a Christian how we are to stand. First of all, we are to stand prepared. We are to stand prepared. It says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Listen, a child of God, we are to stand prepared for the spiritual attack that is going to come upon us. And if we as a country would not prepare ourselves to defend ourselves in the case of attack, anybody would come in and just take us over. The reason why we are still a country today is because we have a strong military. And we need to go ahead and keep our military strong. We need to stand prepared. I think often of the story about Brother Dave Fetter out there in Micronesia when a hurricane was coming, and he decided he was going to keep everything dry inside of his hut, and he decided to take rope and string across back and forth across his grass hut and tie his roof down when the hurricane came. That way nothing would blow away. All the natives said, you're crazy, crazy white man, you know. And when the hurricane came, all of their huts blew away and the missionary stuff all stayed dry underneath of that hut that he tied down the roof. You say, what are you saying? I'm trying to say this. We need to stand prepared. Why should we stand prepared? Because we live in times of uncertainty. James chapter 4 and verse number 14, it says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. Isn't that true? We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Why should we stand prepared? Because the devil is seeking to devour every individual that he can. 1 Peter 5:8, we talked about that this morning. As a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. The devil, listen, the devil has four goals in his life. Number one, he comes to blind you from spiritual truth. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He has come to blind the truth of your spiritual need. That's what the devil has come to do. Number two, he has come to steal the opportunities of joy and blessings in your life. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, Jesus said in John 10:10. Number three, he's come to put to death all spiritual life in you. He wants to sift you as wheat, it says in Luke 22:31. He wants to completely separate you. What does the devil want to do? He wants to destroy all credibility of God and His children. You see, souls are at stake. They are at stake. Look at Ephesians chapter number 6. Look at verse number 18 and 19. After Paul told them to put on their spiritual armor, he says, praying always for with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Notice verse 19, he says, and for me. He told the Ephesian believers, he says, pray for me. I would say this evening, pray for your preacher. Pray for me. That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You see, we need to stand prepared. Prepared in spite of what the devil has planned for us. We need to stand prepared, praying always for all saints and those that are serving God. Number two, how are we to stand? You are to stand equipped. You are to stand equipped. You know, there's something about four-wheel drive trucks I like. They'll get you places where a Volkswagen won't. Sorry, Brother Mike. All right, but you know what? If I was facing a real bad snowstorm, I'd rather be inside of one of your four-wheel drive trucks than inside of your Jetta. Amen? It just makes more sense. There's nothing like having the right equipment. Nothing like having the right type of tools. We are to stand equipped. There's nothing worse than having a job to do and not having the right tools to do it. Fellas, how many of you like tools? Can I see your hand? You like new tools? Matt's back here smiling, raising his hand. I know he does. Now, I tell you what, you give a guy a hammer and a saw, and they're just happy campers, especially if the saw's got a gasoline engine on it. Then they're really happy. You know, it's just those simple things in life that makes a guy happy. But we need to stand equipped. I remember going to this village over to solder lumber years ago, and they had these guys that was actually, it was supposed to take place 100 and some years ago, and they were sawing lumber. And they had this long, about 12-foot long saw, and there was this guy standing on top going like this, and a guy underneath going like this, and they were sawing boards out of logs. And I looked at this guy, and these guys were going like this with these big saws going back and forth, and I thought, man, I'm glad for power tools. That's what I thought. There's nothing better than having the right type of equipment. Well, in a spiritual battle, what type of equipment do we have? Look at verse 10. Verse number 10 says we're to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. The right equipment is the power of God, verse number 10. Look at verse number 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and so on and so forth. Verse number 12 tells me this: I need to have the wisdom of God. I need to have the wisdom of God as I equip myself for the battle. Verse number 14 through verse number 17. I need to have the right equipment. I worked in machine shops for years. Did welding and fabricating and ran lathes and grinders and bridge ports. There's nothing worse than getting a piece of steel in your eye. Man, does it hurt. And if you have the right type of protective gear on, it'll keep it almost always from happening. We always had to wear safety glasses, but one of the things the shops didn't do, they didn't make you wear those little screens on the sides. And I was running a lathe, and the type of steel it was, instead of coming off in curls, it was coming off chipping, and it was coming off hot. And as it was coming off, it was ping, 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 and just flying off. And one flew off and landed right on the corner of my eye, went through my side of my glasses. Man, I tell you what, talking about hurt. It's always good to have the right tools and the right equipment. The right armament to protect ourselves. You know, there's all kinds of tools. Tools for safety and tools for demolition. Tools for construction. And God's job demands the right type of equipment. We're to stand equipped. Having the right armament. And then verse number 18. It says, and supplication in the Spirit. We need to have the equipment of the Spirit of God covering us. How are we to stand? Stand equipped. Look at verse number 13. How are we to stand? We are to stand not only prepared and stand equipped, we are to stand steadfast. I've got an uncanny memory. I can remember clear back to where I was about a year and a half old, vividly. I remember first grade like it was just yesterday. There was a young boy there that was my friend. His name was Charlie Perkins. Now in first grade, everybody's about this tall. Charlie Perkins was this tall. In first grade, everybody's about this big around. Charlie Perkins was about this big around. He was a big guy. And I always remember we had this on the playground, there was a thing called the hill. And everybody went up there to play King of the Hill. And there'd be two guys get up there and everybody else, we had to knock them off. I always made sure that Charlie was my friend. And as long as Charlie was my friend, I stayed on top of the hill. And one of the things I didn't want to do is go up against Charlie. He just took us and threw us off like this, you know. But one day I had to go up against Charlie. So I told another guy, I says, you sneak up behind him and bend down. And I just knocked him and I hit him in the chest and he fell over backwards over top of another guy. And I stood on the hill by myself for about 10 seconds till Charlie got back up. And I didn't stay on the hill after that. We are to stand fast. Verse number 13 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore. The Bible says that we are to withstand. It has the idea of endurance. Just like Charlie would stand on that hill, and regardless of what came at him, and all the kids would gang up, let's knock Charlie off the hill. He stood there. It's the idea of endurance. In the past, I've seen some things that didn't endure. When Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, the levees did not endure. Because of that, many people died in the floods that swept through New Orleans. The idea of endurance, things that last. I remember years ago, I was roofing my house down in Faustoria, and I had an old rickety wooden ladder that was falling apart, and I scabbed 2x4s on the side. And I was coming down, I just got done putting the last shingles on the house, and my wife was sitting out there underneath of the maple tree watching me, and I was about 10 foot off the ground with a stack of shingles on my shoulder as I just finished up the roof. And I told my wife, I said, I can't believe this old ladder held up. And as soon as I said that, the wooden rung broke out from underneath me, and it looked like a cartoon with every rung I hit, boop, 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 all the way down, and I broke every rung in that ladder, and the ladder split apart, and I fell on the ground. You know, something can be said about endurance, especially when it comes to ladders. You know, the child of God, we need to go ahead and stand equipped, and we need to stand steadfast. It has the idea of withstanding. And then it says, having done all to stand. That means giving it your all. Now, I want you to be honest and take an assessment of your Christian life. Have you really done all? Have you really given it your all in taking a stand for what's right? Or have you conformed to the things of the world in order to please other people? We are to take a stand and we are to stand steadfast. Men need to be steadfast. We need to be an example. Dads need to be an example for their young boys and their young daughters. They need to see you praying and reading your Bible and going to church and living a godly life and living by faith and being a witness. Your children need to see those things. But how else are we to stand? We are to stand prepared, we are to stand equipped, we are to stand steadfast, but we are also, number four, we are to stand ready. Years ago when our country was founded, they did not have a military. When the British was coming, we had what was called Minutemen. And the Minutemen were just exactly what they were called. At a minute's notice, they would be ready to fight for their community and their fledgling country. It was just a small band of soldiers that was ready to fight within 60 seconds. They were to stand ready. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 14, it says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking the shield of faith, Listen, we're to stand ready. When the children of Israel left Egypt, they were to have their shoes on their feet during the Passover. They were to have their bags packed. They were to be ready to leave. Christian, I think we need to stand ready. With all the things that are going on in our world, listen, it's not going to be long before the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And we need to be ready to meet Him. You say, how do I get ready? Number one, you need to get saved. Number two, you need to live for Him. We are to stand ready. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, I talked a little bit about that today. It says, be sober, be vigilant. That word vigilant means to be wide awake, not asleep. And if we're going to stand ready, we are not to be sleeping, we are not to be occupied with the world. We are to stand ready in prayer and stand ready in supplication. We are to stand ready in watching. We are to keep watch. Just as a military sentinel would be posted and watch over the city. We are to stand ready in perseverance, not quitting. We are to continue to the end. Listen, we're in a battlefield. We are in a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room, as the old song says. And we are in a spiritual battle. And we need to stand. We need to stand prepared, and we need to stand equipped. We need to stand steadfast, and we need to stand ready. This will only happen through our Lord Jesus Christ. It will only happen as we as a child of God will be determined by the grace of God. I am what I am, and I'm going to serve God. We need to go ahead and not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. I like what the extreme devotion of the voice of the martyr said. It says, I am a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed, my presence makes sense, and my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams and tame visions, mundane talking, cheap giving and dwarf goals. My pace is set, my gait is fast, and my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, and my way is rough. My companions few. My guide is reliable. My mission is clear. I won't give up, back up, let up, or shut up until I preached up and prayed up and paid up and stored up and stayed up for the gospel of Christ. I must go until He returns, give until I drop, preach until all know, and work until He comes. And when He comes, He will have no problem recognizing who I am. My colors will be clear, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stand. Christian, if there's ever a time when we need to stand, it's today. We need to stand against the things of the world. Stand against the devices and the wickedness of Satan. And we need to stand for what's right. And I wonder who tonight would be willing to stand with me. I wonder who would be willing to stand with Jesus Christ. Are you willing to stand therefore? Shammah in the Old Testament, everybody else fled, but he stood. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. But he stood. Stand therefore. I wonder if today you'd be willing to say, Preacher, I'm willing to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm willing to take a stand. If you're willing to take a stand for Jesus Christ, and you're willing to take a stand to say, I'm going to live for Him, and I'm going to put Him first in my life, this is what I'd like to have you do. I'd like to have you take a stand right now. But think before you stand. Are you willing to take a stand for Jesus Christ? If you're willing to take a stand for Jesus Christ, would you stand now? Would you stand with me? Would you say, by the grace of God, I'm going to stand for Him. I'm going to put Him first in my life. Would you stand? And now will you seal it with a prayer? and ask God to help you. Help you take a stand. And before I pray, why don't you pray? Pray in your heart. If you want to come down to the altar and pray, you can do that. But maybe it's just a prayer to say, Lord, help me to be willing to stand for what's right. Would you come tonight if the Lord has spoken to you? Would you come if the Lord has spoken to you? Lord, help me to take a stand. Would you come? Know that song, sing it with me. Where he leads me, I will follow.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow, follow me.
Lord, I pray that you'd help us to stand. Lord, while the rest of the world is fleeing, help us, Lord, to be like Shammah. Lord, that took a stand for what was right. And Lord, while the world is living in sin, help us to stand up for what's right. Help us, Lord, to stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ, for godly living and purity. Now, Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless in a great way. Give us safety as we go to our homes. And Lord, bring us back again this Tuesday night at 6 o'clock, Lord, that we might rejoice around the throne of grace and, Lord, have fellowship one with another. Bless, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. If you haven't signed up yet, it's not too late. Go ahead and sign up for the Thanksgiving meal. That's at 6 o'clock.